As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
This episode of Sewing Out Loud is brought to you by Copper Compression. If you've been doing extra sewing or housework, your hands might need some extra support. Visit coppercompression.com and use code SEWINGOUTLOUD to receive 30% off your first order.
Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory Donahue.
I'm ZD Donahue.
And I almost forgot how to start the podcast again. And this is the third time we've tried to start this podcast. So what's going on? What's going on, Mal?
I don't know. Actually, an aerial person.
Uh-huh.
It's this young woman that don't tell anybody, but it's a young girl and I am helping alter her wedding dress. Actually, I'm doing it. But I don't do that anymore, just so everybody knows.
Yeah, don't tell anyone.
But I don't do that anymore. We were just talking about when she was going to come over for a fitting, and she's like, you came up on my podcast, suggestion list to listen to your podcast. She said, you're famous. And I said, celebrity is just so hard to deal with.
It's hard. It's just so
hard. And she says, but you do, you know, with such, I can't remember, grace and something. And I said, yeah, it's a good thing that I'm not brash and opinionated, isn't it? Anyway, we had that discussion.
Yeah. So we are today, we've done an episode before about household stuff that you can use in your sewing room. Okay. And now we're doing the reverse of how in our other lives, we will sometimes go to the sewing studio for tools to problem solve in
other life
instances.
Other
life things. It happens. I feel like a lot of our things are like cooking and cleaning. So we're just domestic superheroes over here. you know.
Maybe.
Anyway, so I want to start off with the first thing, this is, to me, a really good classic example, and people are just going to freak out because
I can't wait to hear what she's going to say.
Since before the internet, there has been the joke of, you know, don't steal the good sewing scissors.
Oh, yeah.
Don't use my fabric scissors, you know, and mom's like, you can kill your sister, but not with my sewing scissors, you know. But now we have the internet, okay?
That's right.
We have memes. And there's the meme of, like, the knight on the horse, and it's like, my lady, tell me of the scoundrel who used your sewing scissors for something else. And we've got the pictures of the padlocks on the sewing scissors. So
right.
I'm just saying, it was a long history of this, but sometimes.
You mean those memes aren't the first people who thought
right.
of all that stuff?
That's yeah. right. But what I'm saying is that sometimes I'm doing a household task. And I've got my kitchen scissors. So in my kitchen, I have a pair of kitchen shears that came with this knife set. And they're okay. And then I have a pair of like Fiskars orange handled scissors in my kitchen hanging around.
Which we call sort of crap everyday scissors.
Yeah, they're like, okay, but they're like a
like
nicer.
Like utilitarian scissors.
Yeah, they're
yes.
like on the nicer end of crappy scissors. Okay, yeah. Okay. And then I have like poultry shears, which are just a different
which
story.
Means they cut through
chicken
like
bone.
Chicken bone and cartilage and stuff.
And they make such a big difference. I'm so glad to have them. I very much.
You actually also have herb scissors.
I forgot about herb scissors. I just used
which
them last
I
night.
I think are hysterical.
Oh,
I don't
you
have
think
a pair
hysterical?
Yet.
I used them last night.
Yeah.
I went out
they're
in my
like
garden.
They're like hair thinning shears, but you use them on.
I went out in my garden right. and I got some mint and I, because I was putting it in my braised cabbage recipe and I put the mint in and I used my herb scissors instead of cutting it in strips with a knife. I just like right. snip, snip, snip. So, and I didn't like the recipe I used,
chiffonade with a if, knife.
Chiffonade. If anybody has a good, send me your cabbage recipes, everybody. I want to try some new ones because this one I did last night.
What do you do with
like,
cabbage? I just do salt and pepper.
Well,
a little vinegar.
I was trying to like, I just thought there's got to be something
do you,
fun.
Have you done
tomatoes
and?
No. No.
Tomatoes and cabbage really good
okay.
together.
Okay. Well, anyway. Back
but
to
you
got to
spice it up.
Well, we just got some
yeah.
tomatoes. But
okay.
I used this whole cabbage.
How many tomatoes do we have? You didn't tell me
no,
we had
tomatoes.
No, they're
not from our garden.
Oh.
Okay. But we got this cabbage, and it was really nice, and I used it, and I didn't like the recipe, and now yeah. I've, like, used my whole freaking cabbage.
You need some spice on that cabbage, that's for sure.
No, the recipe was too acidic is what it was.
Oh, okay.
It was way
yeah, I don't like.
Too
I like
acidic.
It kind of salt and peppery more.
It was way too.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on. I have been doing lots of painting with Zelda. We've got the kids at home. My husband has to work up curriculum. He's a public school teacher. Pandemic craziness. You all know. And so I've been doing all this painting with her. And she was trying to cut up some of her paper with her little. These are crappy scissors.
Yeah,
little kids. Scissors.
The bullnose scissors.
Yes,
yeah.
exactly. And I was like,
I don't know why they won't cut anything except if a child wants to cut their own hair.
Yeah, there you go.
Then they
go.
Work.
But
yeah.
I see her with these scissors and she's contorting around.
Right.
And I'm like, she's going to fall off the chair trying to cut this paper because it right. gave her like nicer watercolor paper because she was doing some watercolors. And I came and got her little pair of sewing scissors that I ordered for her. And I talked about these in the blog post that I did about like her sewing kit. And I bought my little kid, my three-year-old, like a $24 pair of Olfa small scissors. They are super sharp. However, once I brought those down for my kid to cut her paper with, she wasn't like, you know, struggling. She was able to be safer with
right.
the sharper scissors,
right.
which of course,
you just kind of have to make sure not to leave them alone with them.
Yes, and I can trust, you know, I know what's going on,
right.
you know, like with her level of.
Well, yeah, it's the child.
Yeah,
yeah.
you know, with her
you,
and everything.
You need to assess the child.
You know, you figure out how that's going to work. But every once in a while, we are doing a home project and I will get a nicer pair of scissors from the studio in order to get a cleaner cut.
Yeah.
If I'm cutting, I'm trying to think of like a lining. We did like maybe like lined some shelves before or something like that. And I wanted a really nice cut. Or, and I will say, I get like the oldest pair, the ZD's favorite scissors with the big
uh-huh.
handles, you know. We actually have quite a few of those like from the shop days. And I do get like the oldest beat up pair and I use those. But I have found them useful in cooking and in some home projects where I am cutting paper and things like that. So, you know, sometimes you might want to go to your sewing room and get the nicer pair of scissors to get a good
or
product.
Or the rotary cutter.
Or the rotary cutter.
So I was putting up, I don't know if anybody knows what Tic Tac tiles are, but they're vinyl tiles.
Mm-hmm.
I was putting those up in the camper.
Oh, the things you do with the rotary
okay.
cutter.
Okay. And they say to use like a wallpaper knife, like an
uh-huh.
X-Acto knife type
mm-hmm.
thing, right? Nope. I used the rotary cutter. And of course, I had a beautiful outcome.
Okay. You know, I don't do a lot of like collage or something like that. But I know a few artists who do. And they use X-Acto knives on mats. And I wonder if they would like a little rotary cutter better.
I know. Well, and you know, I was in the camper and I had a smaller mat that fit
uh-huh.
like on the dinette table. You know,
yeah.
And that's what I did.
Yeah.
I constantly, like shelving paper for, you know, inside the drawers and everything. I use the rotary cutter.
We use it for gift wrap.
I will mark all of my, like, you know, I mark all of my drawer liners or whatever, and then I bring them up to the work table and I cut them. So
rotary cutter is the way to go. I just think about
you just get such a nice slice.
You know, you drag an X-Acto knife along something and it drags.
Well, that's it. You have to be very consistent.
Yeah.
And I even think an X-Acto knife might have to be sharper.
Yeah.
I think that I rotary cutter you know, it's just better.
Okay. And then I was going to say something else about rotary cutter. Now I can't remember. But, I know what I was going to say. This will move us on to our next thing. Okay. Yarn, string, whatever.
Thread.
Okay.
Yarn, string, thread. Let's see.
I have used that to, you know, sew up food. Okay.
Yes.
So I didn't have kitchen twine, but I came up here and I found a ball of cotton yarn. When I was making a pork loin that I had to, like, I don't know, truss up.
You can truss, yes.
I guess. It wasn't, and to tie up chicken legs, you know, when you're doing it. And since it was.
As well as you can do that with an herb bouquet.
Yes, there you go.
Yes.
Absolutely.
You should have seen how I did that with my hand.
Didi has a good
bouquet.
Had
a really good gesture.
Maybe we should take it. We should gif that.
Herb bouquet.
Herb bouquet.
And I twisted my hand up, herb and it was beautiful.
So, yes, string. I did try to. I used cotton. I think this stuff's cotton. I mean, I don't know that for sure.
It can be polyester.
It can be polyester.
I mean, you can. You know, you can put polyester in the oven.
So yeah. I smashed up my pork loin. I flattened it out.
Yeah.
And I stuffed it with leeks and apples.
Right. So you did like a jelly roll thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Rolled it up. And then I was like, okay, I'm supposed to tie this up. And then I sort of intuitively knew how to do, I'm sure it's got a name. But it's like, it's like a blanket stitch.
Like a ladder kind of stitch.
Yeah, sort of, you know. And I was like, oh, this is really exciting, you know? And so I just straight up got that from our sewing studio, as well as muslin for cheesecloth for straining things.
Yes.
I just
all
use,
the time.
In fact, I think one of the things I got was like an organdy.
I have a piece of muslin.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes I used to use a dish towel for this, but I felt like maybe it was too heavy.
Yeah.
I have a piece of muslin and I think actually it was our press cloth at one time. But so it's just.
This is not medical advice. Okay.
Yeah.
Moving on.
It's just got a 3-thread narrow on all of its edges and I roll my lettuce up in it and put it in the fridge.
Oh man. Which we're going to cover food storage.
Food storage
in another
later.
Episode. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Okay, so I've used that cheesecloth to strain out, like, yogurt. I made yogurt, and then I went to Labneh, which I think is how you pronounce it. It's like a strained yogurt
it's
cheese.
It's another kind of yogurt
Well,
cheese,
yeah, so, like, they call it a cheese, but it's like yogurt that's strained. It's not really – I didn't, like, age the cheese or anything. Although there are onions drying out in my garage right now, so, I mean, might as well just start a wheel of Parmesan, you know, and 5 years later, it'll be ready. So using things like that in cooking, and what brought this to my mind, or what has come up in my mind lately, as I've been, you know, like doing all these craft projects with the kids and the cooking and the sewing and everything, is like everything is a fiber art. Okay.
Do you remember when I came to your second grade class?
I'm just going to say yes, because if I say no, you're going to be like, ungrateful.
So the teacher was like, it was like the week of the sewing machine or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. And your teacher called me and said, would you come do a sewing machine demo? And this is to second graders, right? Like, what are you going to do? They don't care. So I thought I was really kind of smart about this. So I brought the embroidery machine.
Yeah.
You know, because it mesmerized everybody and kept their attention. But my first thing was, I'm here to talk about sewing in a sewing machine. I'm trying to capture my audience, right? And I said, I want people to tell me what in their life is sewn and not just clothes. And, you know, shoes,
uh-huh.
the ball they played with
right.
on the playground. So they started coming up with the, mm-hmm. you know, the seats in their car,
yeah.
you know, and I don't know how people don't sew.
Yeah.
When
yeah.
I think of these things, because everything I do, almost everything I do, I think, how can I fix that with a needle and a thread?
Right, but I guess,
swear.
Okay, but that's sewing. But when I say fiber art, okay, so fiber art but, in like the fine art world, okay,
it's oh,
like
yes.
felting and stuff.
Right.
Okay? And, but when I look at, I know some painters very well. I know these people like really well. And I've been to lithography studios in Paris, and I'm like, that paper is a
fiber.
Textile, yeah. you know, and in fact, the word textile and text, hello, you know, they come together, of course. And so anyway, I'm just like, everything is fiber. And, you know, that brings us to our cleaning, I think, issue, because we're going to talk
everything
about.
Everything is lint.
Yeah. That's what
everything
I'm saying.
Everything is lint.
That's exactly. Everything
it's like
is lint.
I cleaned out the dryer filter. What can I do
yeah.
with this? Yes.
You know, and these people are painting on canvas. And these people are painting on paper. And they're, you know, it's like everything.
Well, wasn't it Picasso? Like during the war, like there were no sheets left in the house because
oh,
he
is
took.
That right?
Yeah, he took all the sheets and stretched them and gessoed them.
Oh.
And, you know, like nobody had any bed sheets because he stole them all.
Yeah. Well, and like the way papyrus was made, you know, and you know, papyrus is the word, that's where we get the word paper from,
right.
you know, and like, you know, everything that is all the paper made from trees or from any kind of plant or from linen, you know, there, you know, any kind of paper made from linen or linen canvas. And like, it's everything is just fiber.
Well, and
okay?
even the man-made fibers, uh-huh. we make them by mocking the natural fibers, you know,
yes.
there's a liquid and then it's put through an extruder and it's
we
made into fibers.
Yeah, we make a pulp and then we make
right,
a
yes. right. You know, we make it into a fiber.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely.
To make, you know, the other product
yes.
or whatever.
Yes. And so, yeah, I was just and I was cooking and I was like, okay, so I have to like, you know, make sure and treat this plant a certain way so I can eat it, you know, versus
make a dress out of it.
And then if
it,
I treated
what?
The plant a different way, yeah, I could make a dress out of it, you know, exactly. It was like if
it's just like Gilligan's Island.
No, everything is a fiber
right,
art, okay? Because
right.
sometimes the fiber arts are like kind of relegated to like, you know, the not so high art, and then also, there's like a lot of bad fiber art out there, but there's like a lot of bad painting out there too. So anyway,
well, you can't have painting. Without
the
something
fibers.
To paint on,
yes,
right?
Exactly.
Whether
and,
it's a piece of masonite or it's a canvas.
Yeah,
you know.
And I know that like people know this, but it was just really coming to me. So in all of the things I've been doing recently, and you know, working with fabric up here, you know, working with food,
well,
working with paint.
Okay,
you
we
know?
Just recently bought that boat, right?
Yeah,
our new boat. This is
Do you
our,
know that CD got a boat.
Actually, you know how you can look on the internet and make it like support anything,
yes.
any idea or whatever.
Confirmation bias,
right? Confirmation bias. We have a yacht, anyway, because there's no true like one definition of a yacht. But one of them is that it has the amenities that you can sleep on it.
Oh.
So we have that.
Okay. But, like, I know people, they sleep on all sorts of things. Like,
well, they might sleep on their boat. I sleep on my yacht.
Okay.
So if you think when people say sewing is a dying art.
Oh, man.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, people are saying that who just don't know anything.
I try not to get, like, offended.
Well, it's not true.
I know, because people will say, oh, you sew? Oh, that's just, no one does that anymore. And I'm like,
no,
okay.
Usually they say to me, oh, you sew? Do you make quilts?
That's another story.
Okay,
yeah.
That's not the only thing people sew,
yeah.
okay?
Yes.
I mean, yes, we sew quilts, but we sew other things. So, but, you know, all the things that you need on a boat that are sewn,
mm-hmm.
right? So it's just so funny because, you know, it's the bimini top and then this top and that and the carpet and the this and the that, you know. And the knot tying. So that's a fiber.
No, exactly. Yes, the knot tying. Mm-hmm.
And do you know that there are also fender covers now? Like, just the rubber fenders to keep your boat from, hitting the side of the dock. People are now covering them.
I see. Yes. Okay, we are going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back and talk about how fiber relates to something else in our lives.
Hey, y'all. Darius Rucker here. A lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com. Hey, y'all, Darius Rucker here. A lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
Take a moment to thank our latest sponsor, Copper Compression, for supporting the podcast.
Copper Compression offers a full range of copper-infused wellness products like braces, gloves, and sleeves that provide targeted relief and the support you need through your active recovery. They have the highest copper content on the market, guaranteed.
Copper-infused fabric is wondrous material. It has antimicrobial and anti-odor properties and boosts circulation. The unique combination of compression and copper gives you the strength to heal.
We know how important our hands are. I've been knitting and gardening more while staying at home, which is fun, but my hands were killing me. I started using their half-finger gloves while working on my latest project, and my hands have felt so much better.
Copper Compression was recently in the news. They donated their entire stock of 18,000 professionally manufactured masks to New York and New Jersey hospitals.
And of course, we have a special offer for our listeners. Go to coppercompression.com/sewingoutloud30. That's coppercompression.com/sewingoutloud30. Or use the promo code Sewing Out Loud, all one word, at checkout for a very generous 30% off on your first order. Thanks Copper Compression. Sewing Out Loud. All right, so it's not just fiber. What we're talking about is the our phone, it's connected to the internet, which is sort of a nebulous thing, and there's stuff just sort of existing, and it seems like it's in the air.
That's their fiber optics.
Okay, yeah. Fiber optics. Also, your technology, even though we think of it as sort of this, a virtual, thing, it's got physical components.
I thought you were just talking to me. I didn't realize you were recording.
Yeah, we're recording. So, Zizi, I'm bringing it up to your example. People who don't sew do not have the small, pointy, sharp things in their houses that we do.
Okay.
And they are straight pins and sewing machine needles will get you out of some scrapes. And this is actually where this episode came from. So, Zizi, tell your story.
Right. So, I have a new t-shirt, though.
Oh.
Those who don't sew don't know.
Ooh.
Anyway.
Okay.
So, my husband and I are on this camping trip in our glamper. And it's like, that charger doesn't work. My phone won't charge. Something's wrong with my phone, blah, 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 all this stuff. So anyway, he leaves me with his phone and he goes fishing. And I'm supposed to fix his phone. I do all these things like,
A hard reset.
Yeah, I reset it. That doesn't work. So I'm looking up. Yeah, I'm Googling.
This is like my old phone, too, right?
Yeah, I'm like Google searching all this stuff, do a hard reset, and this is how you do it, and hold this for, if you only, I hold it down, both of them down for like 5 seconds, and then that doesn't work. So I read someplace else. Well, 5 seconds isn't long enough. Hold it down for 15 seconds. so I do that, too. And, I'm making a fool out of myself because nothing's working, right? And I the phone has gone from 16% charge to now 11%.
Oh, no.
Right. So then I read something about, well, you know, keep your phone clean. I'm like, this phone's clean. You know, there's nothing wrong with this phone. Then I go on to something else and I'm, you know, I'm standing on my head and, you know, killing a chicken to make his phone work or something, but it didn't work.
I always love using that. I was we have a rooster, so I've been thinking about killing a chicken lately.
So anyway, that didn't work. Killing the chicken didn't make the phone work either. So I'm like, well, I don't know.
Bathe in its blood
I'm like, maybe, right, maybe his phone is dirty. Why would it be dirty? So I look at the charger port and I get my phone out and get the flashlight on it, and I'm looking at it, and it looks clean. It looks fine to me. I don't see anything in there, you know.
But you get
I look at the, then I get out this, like, actually, I don't think it was a straight pin. I think it was a sewing needle.
Oh, sewing needle. No, okay. But they're good.
They're good, too.
Talk about that.
I could have used either.
Yes.
It's just that I have sewing needles in my camper that I use as bulletin board pins.
Yes.
Right. There's another use, right?
Yes.
And I go in there with it, and I'm like, I hope I don't hurt it.
Right.
Right? You know, I hope I don't, like, disconnect some circuit board.
Or, like, scratch something or whatever.
So it's like, you know, a proctoscope on my husband's phone or whatever. I'm up there in there doing things. And nothing's coming out, and I'm shaking, you know, and I don't see anything. And then all of a sudden, like, a little dust comes out, right? And I was like, oh, my. Maybe it is dirty, you know. So I go in there. And I go in and I use the blunt end because I'm afraid I'm going to hurt it, you know. And then a little bit of, like, lint comes out. And I'm like, really? Oh. So I go in there a little bit more. And all of a sudden, this thing comes out. And I'm like, I don't think the charger port is supposed to have a felt pad. It reminded me of people coming
with
in
their sewing machine
and telling us they knew it needed service because the felt pad had come out from under their feed dogs, which obviously was just.
I know about this because when I was studying abroad in France, this is before the iPhone came out, but I had an iPod and we went to some French castle. We went to like Castle Week, and we went to many of these
Castle
like
Week.
Gardens. That's what it's called, okay? I went to these gardens, and I picked some lavender, which is probably like illegal or something. And I put it in my purse with my iPod, and then several days or maybe like a week later, I get my iPod out, and I couldn't plug the thingy in, and there was like dried up
like
lavender.
Like a little seed or a
leaf. Like a whole flower. Yeah, dried up like flower in there. So cleaning out. Okay, so this brings us to.
Well, I checked mine after that.
Yeah,
then.
Yeah, keep it clean.
But I think, you know, one reason his is dirty is because it was yours.
Yeah.
You know, it's
well,
older.
Old, yeah.
And he will put it just in his pocket. Uh-huh. And I think like pocket lint.
Yes.
You know.
Gets into it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It was like navel lint sort of thing.
It's like it's popping a pimple, you know.
Yeah.
Okay. So straight pins and needles can be really helpful in cleaning things out. And this happened to me last night. One, I cleaned my stove, which is also another funny thing, but I won't get into that. I cleaned my stove and then
it's not that funny. Go ahead.
Two of my gas burners wouldn't work. So they were, you know, click, 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 wouldn't light. And I'm like, I thought I'd cleaned them out nicely or whatever, but, you know, and dried, mm-hmm. you know, you got to dry it and stuff. But I Googled it and they're like, well, clean it out with a toothbrush. And so then I said, Derek, you need a new toothbrush.
Because I didn't use my. See, if you use his, you don't have to tell him, though. You just put it back.
He does this weird thing where he brushes his teeth downstairs. So I'm like, too damn bad. Your toothbrush is next to the kitchen. Brush your teeth upstairs and it won't be there, will it? Okay, so.
You know you're supposed to save your old toothbrushes for cleaning brushes.
I know, but I don't know where, like, the last one went. So, anyway.
I see.
And I saw there was a whole pack of toothbrushes, so we had plenty of toothbrushes. But it didn't work. And so I have, on my refrigerator, I have some very strong magnets. And they have on them a straight-edge razor blade. And then another one has, like, a safety pin.
Right.
And a sewing machine needle and a straight pin. Okay.
And I have all those things in my kitchen drawer right next to my pliers.
Okay. There you go. So these are way up high on the refrigerator.
With what we will talk about later, my hemostats.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So these are things that I would normally have in the sewing room, but I ended up bringing them down and keeping them down here because I needed them. And I used the straight pin and the sewing machine needle
to bore out
to clean out my burner, and it works
now. To clear the lumen of your burners.
Yes. And I didn't really know what I was doing. And that's the other thing. Don't just stick a sewing machine needle in your phone and then break it and then sue us. Okay.
Right.
Don't do that.
Or don't stick a sewing machine needle in anything that might be electrically charged.
Yeah,
that might go back at you.
Don't try to light your burner and put a sewing machine needle in it at the same time. Okay, so
Thing is, when you have your needle and you're trying to clear the valve on your aerosol can because it is plugged up, don't do that next to the gas flame.
That's right. No fires.
Okay. Because that is one of the best things that a sewing machine needle or a
straight pin.
And I'm talking about big, long straight pins, right?
Okay. I want to say, pin is so nice because they can be long and they have that head for grip.
Right.
However, a sewing machine needle, it's almost like a little shovel.
It is.
With a Sharpie point
And sometimes they have different shapes. Like, you know, the needle is a little bit different shape. And it'll work in a different way.
Well, and you said you use the blunt end.
You can use the blunt end for things. Right. Especially if you're afraid that you're going to do some sort of damage with the... But I'm always clearing, like, little aerosol ports. Spray glue, paint, all kinds of stuff. Anything that's spray.
So I just want to bring up, don't just take one. Get an old sewing machine needle and get an old straight pin and have them available.
And always save those things. Don't throw them out. You've got a sharps container that you can, go to.
Yeah, that's why we talk about how we have a sharps container. We use old prescription bottles or old, plastic bottles for that. And it's nice if you are going to throw that away to protect yourself and your sanitation worker or whatever who's going to be taking out the trash. But you keep those in that container, and then you take them out. And what's something you use sewing machine needles for all the time?
Well, I hang pictures.
Yes.
So they're actually putting a brad, and we've got them all over, the sewing studio.
Yeah, we're actually hanging other things with them, too.
But, I will hang, even if they're broken, they're perfect because you just tap them in with a small hammer and they go, and they make a small hole.
Right.
It's easy to take care of later if you don't want it there.
Some things hung up in here, I have a list tacked to our slanted ceiling here, and it's done with a sewing machine needle.
Right.
And so they can sort of be used in lieu of a push pin, like you said, on your bulletin board in your camper.
So in my yacht.
Oh, excuse me. Do you have a bulletin board in your yacht?
The whole thing's a bulletin board. It's amazing. So
you made it into a bulletin board.
No. Like it had the roof, the ceiling of it is like a headliner.
Uh-huh.
So it's almost like carpeting. So it, they work there very well as pins, bulletin board pins.
Right.
So the whole thing's a bulletin board.
So it might not work that those needles might be old and not good enough for using your sewing machine, but they work so excellently for mounting small things like that.
And then anything that you need to clean that's got a tiny little crevice to it or something like that, you go in there with the machine needle or the straight pin, either one.
Well, and what I got out of my little burners, and I would have loved if I'd had a small vacuum actually to use during that. I don't have a little vacuum attachment kit down in my house, which I should probably have. But I think I'd used baking soda to get a grease, I used it as an abrasive to get some grease off. And I think what I got out of one of the burner holes was a little bit of baking soda.
That can happen. Yeah.
And so, it's not like my stove was disgusting. It was actually some of the cleaning agents that were
left over.
So it was working before I cleaned it, and then I cleaned it. And so anyway, having those, I told Derek, I was like, hey, do you know these are here? And he was like, oh, no, I didn't, So, yes, the sewing machine needles and the straight pins, I don't know how people
I don't know how they live without them.
Because we love them.
So do you want to tell, if you think Mallory's stove story might be disgusting, we have a disgusting story
about me. Content warning, skip ahead a minute if you... if you're squeamish. Okay.
So I used to.
Used to? What?
Well, no, I did. Now I have a little portable thing that hangs on my. Anyway. So I would keep a straight pin in the headliner of my car right above the driver's side, right? So that if I needed to pick food out of my teeth, I could do it. And I did. I don't know when my kids decided this was gross because I've always done it, but it's right there and you can clean your. So I know the dentist says don't use any metal objects on your teeth, right? But when I go to the dentist, she takes out this big metal object and scrapes my teeth all the time. But anyway, that's what I use it for. Yes, it's gross, but it's much better than hearing me go.
Oh, that's gross too. Yes,
right?
Yes.
So anyway, that's what I do.
Okay, so ZD, yeah, ZD is, and don't do that while you're driving.
But I do.
Oh, man.
No, yeah.
Okay.
It's not suggested. We do not suggesting that while you're driving.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. What's our, I just want to bring up, this is where I was saying fiber and, you know, connected to the virtual things. There are physical materials carrying this podcast to you. You know, there are physical materials carrying power to your phone.
The fiber optics. Yeah.
And all the connections. So you do, you know, all of those connections that charge your device are important. So keep those clean. And the reason I bring that up is, remember when I recommended those Bluetooth earphones or earbuds? Well, I still recommend them, but Derek was having trouble with his. And I was like, oh, no, I just recommended
them.
They
get earwax in them?
Well, no, the connections were needed to be, like, cleaned so that they would charge because he's like, they're just not charging. Right. You know,
they got so, oily or something.
Yeah, so he cleaned them, and he really – he sweats in those big time because he'll go out in the garden in the heat, and he's – you know, soaking wet. And so anyway, mine have been fine, but I said, you need to tell me if those actually stop working because I got to tell people that
how to fix them
or that my recommendation was wrong or something because I said these are affordable and reliable, you know.
So what have you done lately with a tape measure?
Oh, man. Okay. So I hesitated to include this at first, but I think
because it didn't fit the topic perfectly.
Well, right. Okay. Because our topic is stuff in your sewing room that you use in your household. But I think a lot of people have a hardware store tape measure, like a metal tape measure, and they don't always have a flexible like tape measure that we sewists use to measure our bodies. And that is so useful to me. Also,
well, that's what instead of keeping a hardware store tape measure in my purse, I used to keep one in my car. I keep, you know, the retractable little sewing measuring tape in my purse, and I can measure anything no matter where I am because, and it might not be sewing related. It might be how it's like, I need a basket to fit in that hole, and I know that hole is 6 inches. Boy, this looks 6 inches, but you know, so I can, you know, if I'm in the dollar store, I can measure the basket.
So I have a magnetic one that pops on my fridge. Once again, all my sewing stuff's just on magnets on my fridge, I guess. And I use it to make sure, like, I've rolled the pie crust out to the right size. And if my kids want to, like, they'll want to play with a measuring tape. And, of course, I don't let them play with, like, a metal measuring tape.
You mean
tape.
The one that can slice your finger off.
You know, hand up. So they have flexible measuring tape.
Right, and that's been always a big toy with us is the small flexible measuring tapes, even the retractable ones.
They love that.
But as like the boys got older, I gave them those, and they would measure everything.
Yeah,
I would give them one of those and a level, a little level, and they go around. This is level. This is measures. This is a, you know.
Well, and my kids, they're just like they're recognizing the numbers on the tape, you know, and so that's really good. But yeah, so if you only have one of those stiffer tape measures, like in your a metal one, consider, you know, if you have a tape measure from up in your studio that, you know, you've got duplicates or something, I keep one downstairs now.
I will tell you, I think a sewing tape measure, whether it be the retractable one or I like, you know, I also like the ours that marks.
Yeah, the snappy one.
The snappy one that, you know, you can mark and easy to measure yourself. I think they're a great thing to give people as gifts, like kids going away to college, somebody getting married. even if they don't sew, because you never know what you need to measure.
Well, we were ordering a bike helmet for Jerome.
Right. You got to measure his head.
So I had to measure his head. Right. And like, I thought I knew what it was, you know, but.
I was ordering swim water shoes for kids. And, you know, you're supposed to measure their foot. Well, you can put that down and they just stand on it and you know what their foot is.
Right. And like, I don't have a ruler all the time. You know, and then sometimes I need more than a ruler or something like that. So anyway, tape measure, a tape measure that you would normally find in a sewing studio, I guess, is useful in household tasks as well. What else you got on
there?
Well,
I have one more thing, and it's a hemostat, which, or some people call them pickups, some people call them clamps, but, you know, they have the scissor motion, right? You know, and they clamp something, right? They're like a tweezers, a clamp, but you can lock them.
Uh-huh.
So I consider that a hemostat, which means to stop the blood, because that's what they were used for. They were put on vessels to, you know, during surgery to stop the blood flow. So actually, you know, sewing has stole them, and then, you know, fishing stole them. All these, so hemostats have been stolen by all of us for everything. But I keep, how many you think we have up here? Like a dozen?
Oh, God. Yeah.
We have all shapes, all sizes. We use them to stuff with, pull with, whatever, hold with, whatever. Take a needle out, put a needle in, sew with a needle, use them as a needle holder, which is also another term that they're often used
as. Twist the end of a wire for a mask, for a nose wire.
But I keep a pair in my kitchen, and you never know why.
Yeah.
There's always something. I do a lot of putting drawstrings back in for my husband.
Or
fishing him out where they've only gone back down in.
You know,
like,
that's something I don't have over at my house.
Mm-hmm.
But scissors, okay, so I'll just, I don't know, circle back or round this up. But the scissors, I know a lot of people who keep like a pair of scissors in their closet to cut tags off with or whatever.
I keep it at my washing machine.
Yeah, yeah. Right. That's a really good idea. Mm-hmm. Having some nicer scissors around is a good
idea. I keep a tiny, tiny pin cushion in my bedroom that has straight pins in it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I need to mark something or, you know, it.
Right.
I've used it for, I pick my teeth up there. No, but whatever.
And you're not driving. So
yeah,
that's
I'm not
good.
Driving then. But, you know, they're handy. Or if you, you know, there are sometimes things you buy that pins come in so you can stick them in there.
So you take them out and put like a pin cushion.
Right.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. In your closet or something. Okay. So tell us if you've ever taken something from the sewing room and used it in your house to cook or clean or measure a kid's head or do something, you know, whatever. We'd love to hear about it, see if anything useful that we did not think up. And you can follow us on Instagram at SewHereCom. ZD, take it away.
So long and so happy.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit SewHere.com.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com. It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.